ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटर 11 चैप्टर नंबर 22 एलिमेंट्स ऑफ मटेरियल क्रिएशन एक्स नंबर 43 नित्यदा हि अंगा भूतानि भवन्ति न भवन्ति च कालेनाक्षयवेगेन सूक्ष्मत्वात् तन् न दृश्यते नित्यदा हि अंगभूतानि भवन्ति न भवन्ति च कालेनालक्ष्य वेगेन सूक्ष्मत्वात् तन्न दृश्यते नित्यदा हि अंगभूतानि भवन्ति न भवन्ति च कालेनाक्षय वेगेन सूक्ष्मत्वात् तन्न दृश्यते नित्यदा हि अंगा भूतानि भवन्ति न भवन्ति च कालेनाक्षय वेगेन सूक्ष्मत्वात्न दृश्यते नित्यता कॉन्स्टेंटली ही इंडीड अंगा माय डियर उद्धवा भूतानि क्रिएटेड बॉडीज भवन्ति कम इनटू बीइंग न भवन्ति गो आउट ऑफ बीइंग च एंड Kalena, by time. Alakshya, imperceptible. Vegena, whose speed? Sukshmatvat, because of being very subtle. Tat, that. Nadrishyate, is not seen. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Uddhava, material bodies are constantly undergoing creation and destruction by the force of time, whose swiftness is imperceptible. But because of the subtle nature of time, no one sees this. Translation responsibly. My dear Uddhava, material bodies are constantly undergoing creation and destruction by the force of time. Whose swiftness is imperceptible. But because of the subtle nature of time, no one sees this. So this text does not have a purport. I'll read the next one. Text 44. Yatharchasham shrotasam cha falanam vavanaspate tathaiva sarva bhutanam vayo avasthadaya krita. The different stages of transformation of all material bodies occur just like those of the flame of a candle, the current of a river, or the fruits of a tree. Purport. The wavering flame of a candle sometimes waxes brightly and again becomes weak. Finally, it vanishes altogether. The waves of a flowing river rise and fall, creating innumerable shapes and patterns. The fruits of a tree gradually take birth, grow, ripen, sweeten, and eventually rot and die. Similarly, one can easily understand that one's own body is undergoing constant transformation, and that the body is certainly subject to old age, disease, and death. At different times of life, the body exhibits degrees of sexual potency, physical strength, desire, wisdom, and so on. As the body grows, physical strength diminishes, but one's knowledge may increase even as the body undergoes such transformation. Material birth and death occur within the realm of segmented time. The births, creation or production of a material object immediately connects it with a segmented sequence of subtle time within the material world. Thus, its destruction or death is inevitable. The irresistible force of time moves so subtly that only the most intelligent can perceive it. Just as the candle flame gradually diminishes, as the flowing currents move within the river, or as fruits gradually ripen on a tree, the material body is steadily moving towards inevitable death. The temporary body should therefore never be confused with the eternal, unchanging spirit soul. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumantamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they're saying, time and tide does not wait for any man. So, in these two verses, the nature of time, Krishna is describing the nature of time in these two verses. And actually in text 35, Uddhava put forward a question to Krishna, asking that to explain to him how people accept superior and inferior material bodies due to their materialistic activities. And then how do they give up such activities, and how come they are unable to understand what's happening. So that was Uddhava's question, and then Krishna replies, and now Krishna describes how time is actually conducting everything within the material world. So, as we were hearing in the last few days in the Bhagavatam classes, that due to identification with the material body, one is situated in the mode of passion. And as a result, you know, one's heart fills up with unlimited desires and longings. And due to that absorption, one is not able to perceive what is actually taking place. Though people pretend they know a lot, but actually they do not understand what is really taking place in front of them. They're simply caught up in doing what everyone else is doing. In other words, the rat race. You know, we are in the rat race, but still we come out as a rat. So that's the mode of passion. And the mode of passion, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to Bhagavad Gita, is characterized by the attraction between man and woman, and then which leads to honor, distinction, and then, you know, one works for so many things in the material world. So that is the mode of passion. That's how it is characterized by. And the result of that is, because of identification with a particular body, one accepts a particular sense objects. You know, one is attracted by a particular sense objects and repelled by certain sense objects. And the mind is fully absorbed in this. And because of this absorption, one cannot actually perceive what is actually taking place. So today's society is actually situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, predominantly. This is rarely any. But previously, advancement was considered when society is in the mode of goodness and beyond. But in this day and age, advancement is considered when society is progressing in the mode of passion. So actually people are proud if you tell them they are a lusty person. They will be very proud. You are a very passionate person. So people will take that as a great compliment. But actually that is not a sign of progress. This is society is actually going down. And what is the result of that? There is attachment to fruitive activities. So they are attached to the results. And then their mind is shaped by the fruitive activities or the fruitive reactions. So because the mind is absorbed in different kinds of sense objects, it is associating with certain modes of nature, and then it is forced to accept the reactions of that association. And therefore we accept so many bodies. And as we accept new bodies, we completely forget the previous body. It's just like we have In our sleep, we have dreamt about so many things, but we do not remember majority of them, most of them, because we are actually absorbed in the present reality. So similarly, as the Shastra explains, that we cannot remember our past lives because of absorption in the current sense objects. So then today's verse describes how all of this is actually brought forward by eternal time. Time also in Sanskrit is called Kala, or the Kala Sarpa, the snake of time. So actually all of this is taking place by the force of time. And as Krishna says, foolish people cannot understand this, how all of this is taking place. It actually takes a great deal of cultivation knowledge to actually see what is taking place. Or in other words, one has to come to the mode of goodness. One has to understand Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, follow the directions of a spiritual master. Then gradually one can begin to understand what is taking place. Though we might have read these things, but to really understand, that's a separate thing. So as you know, the question is, people don't even know what is time. Sudarshan. I'm saying people outside, materialistic people. There's some people think time is an illusion. It is a creation of the mind. It's how we perceive things. So there's actually different definitions of time. Different philosophers put forward different definitions of time according to their own understanding. But actually, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Time I am." You know. So Krishna describes that time is one of his energies. That Krishna is actually time. So in 10:33 says, "Aham evakshaya kalo." I am in inexhaustible time. So as we also understand, time is one of the five subject matters of discussion in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. And out of these, Karma is temporary and the rest all are eternal. So time is eternal. And then Kala Kalayatam Aham. Krishna says, among subduers I am time. So we know time is the greatest subduer, the most powerful. So many civilizations have come and gone. So many people have come and gone. So we cannot fight time. In Kalosmi Loka Kshayatrit, Krishna says, time I am the great destroyer of the worlds. So actually, time is the impersonal representation of Krishna. And also Vidura, he inquired from Maitreya about, he asked him to describe what is eternal time, which is another form of the Supreme Lord, and what are the symptoms of that eternal time. So even in the Srimad Bhagavatam we see that this element time comes up again and again, and it is discussed again and again. So you know, Maitreya Muni says that eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. In other words, time sets everything into motion. So from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the Mahatattva comes into being. And then from that, the time element is manifest. And then in due course of time, the three modes of nature appear. And then gradually the activities start. So we can see how actually time sets everything in motion. So actually everything is in this existence is controlled by time. And also Maitreya Rishi describes that, you know, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that matter is my separated energy. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. These are my separated material energies. So it is due to time which Kala actually separates this from the Supreme Lord. Maitreya Muni describes this point. So that's why the material energy is separated from the Lord by the time factor. So we can see by the potency of time, everything is transformed. There are six transformations, you know. Every living entity goes through. There is birth, grows, stays for some time. Actually, you understand, it doesn't stay for some time. It is constantly changing. But then it produces byproducts, then dwindles and vanishes. So these are the six transformations every material body goes through. Or even any object, it is created at a certain point, then you know, in due course of time, everything is transformed. And even in the programs we keep telling the people, you know, that even all the cells in the body are constantly changing. So actually nothing stays static, you know, there is always the flux. Things are always changing. So Mahatma Prabhu is a doctor, he knows all about that. All the cells change. So in other words, we are totally a different person. The body is totally changed. So by the potency of time, everything is transformed. And all of this takes in a very imperceptible way. Time acts in a very imperceptible way. You know, like if your relatives see you after many years, they say, oh, you have changed, you know. You look very different now. But those who are, you know, living around us, they think, you know, we haven't actually changed. We look the same. They cannot see how time is acting imperceptibly. And you know, text 43 gives the examples of how the flame of a candle, it is actually constantly transforming, but it looks as if it is the same. So the wax is being burnt, and every time there's a new flame there. And the example of the flowing river is given. If you go to a very fast river, the current is very strong. You'll see actually it seems like, you know, if you look at it, the same spot is the same current, the same wave. But actually the water is, you know, the water has actually gone much further. That's this new water. You cannot step into the same river twice. That's right, yeah, thank you. So if you step in twice, you're gone. So yeah, that's right. So everything is actually constantly transforming. Everything is in a constant flux. So and the example of the flower is given. How the flower is also constantly transforming. It you know, the flower, you know, we have experience, you know, the deities get the garlands, then at night time take them off and they're slightly decayed, you know, and after one or two days, you know, they're more decayed. But of course that is Mahaprasadam. So one can accept that. So time also, you know, has a very destructive potency. You see, all the empires have come and gone. You know, you can go to the, say, so many cemeteries around. So you can see, you know, there says this such and such year this person took birth, and such year now he's dead. His bones are in there. So we can see that time actually has a very destructive potency. Everything in the material world is destroyed by time. And even Krishna told Arjun, you know, if you don't fight according to my plan, anyway, they are, you know, all these soldiers are going to get killed. So that's the will of the Lord. And we also see sometimes time also covers the transcendental teachings of the Supreme Lord. As in the Bhagavad Gita is mentioned that Krishna says, I spoke these teachings to the sun god Vivasvan, but in due course of time they were lost, and now I'm speaking them to you again. By the teachings are lost, we mean they're not, that the real meaning of the Bhagavad Gita is lost, or the purport of the Shastras is lost. It's not that you know, that the Bhagavad Gita is lost. The Bhagavad Gita is there, but the understanding, correct understanding, is lost. So then Krishna has to come again and revive that correct understanding. So we see from time to time that also takes place. It happened. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjun, then again it was lost, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he revived it, then again it was lost, then the previous acharyas, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they again revived it, and then Prabhupada, you know, brought it into the West. So you know, one of Prabhupada's fears was also that, you know, that this movement should not stop by the influence of time. So we have to keep pushing forward. So you know, that happens, that then the Lord sends his dear devotees, or he comes personally to actually revive the knowledge. So we can see time is actually very, very powerful. It has this destructive potency. And you know, time is very relative in the material world. So we understand Brahma, he lives for how many years? His life, 4 trillion? And what's his 100 years? What's his? Does anyone have a calculator here? So his lifespan is actually very, very long. You know. So we see actually time, but that is his 100 years. That is Brahma's 100 years. So we have our 100 years. The ant has his or her 100 years. So for them, their 100 years seems to be, you know, a considerable amount of time. But from the demigod's point of view, our 100 years is like, you know, a flash of time. So it is not very significant. And from Vishnu's point of view, from Mahavishnu's point of view, you know, Brahma's 100 years is just, you know, one breath. So we can understand that how time is very, very relative. And we also see in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Krishna was enacting his pastimes in Vrindavan. Krishna was playing with the cowherd boys and he's having his picnic. And there, you know, Krishna is eating with his left hand. And Brahma is thinking, you know, how can this be God? You know, is this the boy? And he, you know, he's not even following any etiquette, you know. So everyone should be worshipping him in awe and reverence. So how is this possible? So he thought, okay, I'll test this Krishna. So then he came down on his swan carrier and he took the cowherd boys and the calves and put them in a cave under his mystic spell. So then Brahma was going back. So after he thought maybe you know that is Krishna, maybe he is God, maybe I'm playing with fire, you know, so maybe I made a mistake, so I'll go back. So when he went back, 1 year had passed. So we can understand how time is actually very, very relative. So in that course of time, 1 year had passed and, you know, Krishna manifested himself as all the cowherd boys and friends. And when he went, he was totally bewildered. So we can see it's actually very, very relative. For, you know, for other living entities, it's a different time span. But the main point is that time actually brings happiness and distress. You know, whatever is happening in a life is actually happening because of time. And in fact, Narad Muni told that to Vyasadev. He said that persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet down to the lowest planet. And he says, as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. So Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva that actually all the happiness and distress we are getting, it comes automatically by the grace of time. So one should not, in other words, endeavor to obtain material happiness. You know, just like we don't desire distress, but it comes by its own accord. You know, no one wants to be unhappy, but it comes. But you know, someone will do something or something will happen. So, but our tendency is to blame that person. You know, you are the cause of my distress. Mm-hmm. But we cannot see that actually it is time which is bringing forth distress and happiness. It's like I remember when I was working, I was actually thinking of joining the ashram. I had in mind, you know, after a few months I'll join the ashram. So at work I was reading all these, you know, books, different books, you know, as a soft copy. And I was not showing much inclination towards work. And this, I used to go with Tilak and, you know, and when they would offer me food, I would always refuse it and say, you know, it's been cooked by meat eaters, I can't eat it. It's not offered. So I didn't have much chances of, you know, I didn't have very high prospects in the company, I thought. So, because, and you know, so, but still, I was very surprised one day, they gave me an award. They gave me an award for the best performance in the team of workers. So I was actually shocked, you know, how did this happen? I'm showing the least inclination, others are putting so many hours, they come before me, they go after me. And they're, you know, trying to please the boss in so many ways. They're going out of the way they are working. I was just doing the bare minimum. And so I was thinking, how is this taking place? But now, you know, after reading this, actually it is by time that the happiness and distress is coming. So, you know, even because our happiness is and distress is actually predestined. And of course we are creating more. So an intelligent person does not endeavor for that, because that automatically comes. That doesn't mean that one should not work. One has to do their duty. But one will get the result which is actually destined by the laws of nature. And that is actually pushed forward by time. So we can understand that time is actually pushing forward our karma. So we can see actually time is which spoils all the fun. You know, so sometimes people think, you know, if I get this, I'll be very happy. Or even if they get that, it doesn't last for very long. Then, you know, something will happen. Or, you know, say, you know, the threefold miseries will actually spoil their happiness. So the body or the mind or some other, generally it's miseries caused by other living entities. They say, you did this to me, you did that to me. She did this, she did that. Or he did that. So like that. Or, you know, material nature will cause natural disturbances and it will actually ruin our happiness. And then there is birth, death, old age and disease. So we see actually that time actually spoils all the fun. You know, nothing remains fresh. You know, anything in the material world does not remain fresh. It actually decays. So like you can buy a product. Like, you know, you buy a computer, after a few years, you know, Windows XP, it's old. Now maybe I need to upgrade. So go to Windows Vista or 7. So like we can see actually how time is actually taking away the freshness of that object. And even in relationships, in material relationships, how actually time takes away the freshness. So after some time, you know, say, you know, something wrong with you, you know. you have actually changed. Before you were a different person, now you are a different person. So we can see actually how time is bringing about these different changes. So, you know, we want new products, a new car, a new computer. So this is actually time, you know, time is taking away the freshness. So actually time is the real culprit. It is not the situations. And Bhishma Dev, he actually identified this. After the battle of Kurukshetra, when there was this huge massacre, and, you know, as we know, Bhishma Dev, hundreds of arrows were shot at Bhishma Dev, and these arrows actually pierced his body, and he was lying on a bed of arrows. Actually, every part of his body there was an arrow going through. It's actually inconceivable. But Bhishma Dev had this mystic siddhi that he could leave his body when he desired to. He could quit his body. You know, he was a yogi. So, and the right time for quitting his body was coming. And then Krishna, the Pandavas, and all the great sages and the great people, they assembled at that place to see Bhishma Dev depart. And Maharaj Yudhishthir was also there. And Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was actually lamenting, you know, because he thought because of him all this massacre took place. Because he wanted the kingdom, because of his desire to have the kingdom, so much sinful acts was carried out, and, you know, so many people were died. So many women were made widows. So like that he was thinking and he was lamenting. And Bhishma Dev told him, actually this is all of this, he said, in my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time. So Bhishma Dev could actually see that all of this was being brought forward by time. And he said, under whose control everyone in every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. So as we can see, the clouds are carried by the wind. Similarly, everyone is controlled by time. And it is actually quite interesting. The Pandavas are actually pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. You know, sometimes we think, you know, we are devotees, so bad things should not happen to us. But the Pandavas are pure devotees. And their circumstances materially and spiritually were quite good. You know, spiritually they had Krishna on their side. You know, they have God on their side. Original Supreme Personality of Godhead is on their side. So Krishna is there, Maharaj Yudhishthir, he himself was, dharma personified. And then there was Bhima. Bhima and Arjun were expert warriors. So everything materially and spiritually was perfect. But still, Bhishma Dev said there were so many reverses in their situation. And even Queen Kunti had to suffer so much. She became a widow. Maharaj Pandu died untimely. She became a widow and she had to suffer so much. And even the five Pandavas, they suffered so much. They were tried to be killed in the house of Lakh. They were tried to poisoned. In the six kind of transgressions, all took place on them. So they actually suffered so many calamities. So Bhishma Dev said all of this was actually happening by the force of time. So we can understand. So sometimes we can do everything properly, but time has its own plan. So Krishna through time had his own plan. And also this leads to due to the influence of material time, one cannot be satisfied. One always wants some change. So we want different things all the time, so this is because of time. And time produces a sense of fear or anxiety because actually time is taking away everything which is very dear to us. And what is the most dear thing to us? It is our own body. So by the influence of time, that is also being dragged away from our hands. And everything in relation to the body is also taken away. The home, the paraphernalia, the wife, the children, everything is taken away by the time. So one who does not know how time works is actually very fearful of time. And also, time is divided into past, present and future. So, generally everyone is lamenting, in the past I did this, I was very happy. Right now I don't have this. Or I have what I want, but they're still very fearful because they know they will lose it. So in this way you can see how time is actually very, very fearful for people. People are actually, they might say that we are not afraid, but unconsciously everyone is afraid of time. There's that verse in Bhagavatam, Ayur, Harati, Vaipumsam, that both by the rising and by the setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing the topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So actually you can see by the rising and the setting of the sun, it is actually taking away our valuable life. So, here in Albert Park we can see people are, walking in morning and evening, they're walking on the beach and they're appreciating the rising and the setting of the sun. They're appreciating the sunrise and the sunset. But they do not realize that actually it is actually taking away their life. It is actually a great calamity. So, people celebrate their birthdays, happy birthday to you. But actually it's not a cause of celebration, We're actually getting 1 year closer to death. But for Vaishnavas it's different, because that is, devotees are serving the other devotee, they're glorifying the other devotee. That's different. But for Karmis, there's no point celebrating somebody's birthday, because they're actually getting a step closer to death. It's actually an event to lament. But out of illusion, they're thinking, it's very nice. So it's amazing, we have this desire for pleasure to enjoy, but we are put in the realm of time where we cannot actually enjoy properly. We have this by nature, we have the desire to enjoy, but we are in an atmosphere where we cannot enjoy because time is acting upon us. Time is bringing happiness and distress. So we cannot truly enjoy. So that's the great paradox. And actually it's called Kala Sarpa. Time is called Kala Sarpa, the snake of time. Because when a snake bites, one is finished. When in Bhagavatam it says Kala Sarpa, generally it's referring to a cobra. So you know, when a, like a cobra is a very very deadly snake. One bite, you're finished in a very short span of time. So you know, so how can we truly enjoy? In one of the presentations we are giving in the trope, we're saying how if there's a snake in front of you, how can you truly enjoy? You know, if there's a snake, there's a snake there, and there's a tiger, and you know, how can one truly enjoy? You know, if you see a snake in front of you and there's a tiger, also how can one enjoy? Because you know your death is actually any moment you'll be dead, but because of the power of illusion, we think, oh, you know, I'm still young, you know, I still have many many years to go. So, but I'll be okay. You know, what's wrong in that? Just work for some time, you know. Have a nice time, you know, have a relationship, and you'll be okay, you know. Then, you know, so, but actually, we should be fearful of the snake of time. So, a devotee is actually very, very conscious how he or she is using the time in glorifying Krishna. But only for those who glorify the Supreme Lord, they are immune from the victimization of time. And everyone else is not immune. And we can see how hearing and chanting about Krishna is beyond time and space. And because, you know, one can glorify Krishna unlimitedly. Because Krishna is unlimited, his glories are also unlimited. And we see Ananda Shesh, he has thousands of hoods, and he says he is still unable to glorify Krishna. He needs more hoods. And Rupa Goswami says, if I had, you know, thousands, millions of tongues and ears, you know, then I would be able to glorify the Lord more. So so that is the potency of Krishna consciousness. That it is actually beyond the purview of time. So one can actually glorify Krishna unlimitedly. And you know, we have been actually coming to Bhagavatam class, you know, almost every day, and we are hearing the same things every day in, you know, in different ways. It's put in different ways, but it's basically the same thing. And we are chanting Hare Krishna every day. Now, how can we do this every day? You know, we can't do something material repeatedly, again and again. We can't do that repeatedly. But Krishna conscious activities can be done repeatedly because it is beyond material time and space. So sometimes people ask, you know, so like my relatives were asking me, so, you know, what are you doing in the temple now? What's your service? You know, this is the same thing, you know, the same service I'm doing in the treasury, counting the money, you know. And the thing, you know, that's how boring it is, you know. And they ask me, you know, are you going to progress a bit further, you know? What's the next rank? So they said, now you got initiated, you got Brahman, now you're doing that. So, you know, you have been doing that for two years. So, you know, what's next? You know, every day, you know, you're attending the same morning program. They cannot actually conceive of that. Every day we get up, attend Mangal Aarti, chant 16 rounds, hear Bhagavatam, go dance in Kirtan. Then, whatever service we are rostered to do, we are doing that every day. Whether it's books, crossways, or, you know, whatever. So we are doing that service. If you're following the Krishna consciousness program properly, we can do the same service again and again. We don't want to change. But for people, they cannot conceive of that because this is actually beyond the purview of time. So I told them, you know, in the temple I've, you know, pretty much done everything, you know. So, but we just have to do the same thing again and again. The only thing, you know. They're thinking, okay, what's the next position? I said, next position is only temple president. And you know, I'm not interested in that. So they think, you know, the more higher you rise, you know, you're actually progressing. So temple president, GBC, guru, that's how they are thinking, you know. So sometimes people ask, are you going to be a guru? So they're thinking, you know, are you going to progress more and more? Because that's how their life is actually. So, you know, they have to see a progression. Because the same activities get boring after a while. It's not fresh anymore. So they have to endeavor. But for devotees can do the same activities again and again. Like in Mayapur, there are pujaris who are, you know, doing the same deity worship for 30 years. It's actually, you know, it's inconceivable. And one of Krishna's the demigods, Krishna was within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came there, headed by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and they offered prayers and they said Krishna is Satyam Param. In other words, Krishna is the absolute truth, because unlike the relative truths, he is the truth in all three phases of time, past, present and future. So we can see before the cosmic manifestation, Krishna was existing, and during the cosmic manifestation, Krishna is existing, and when the cosmic manifestation is again unmanifested, Krishna is still existing. So the demigods prayed that Krishna is Satyam Param, he is absolute in all three phases of time, whereas we are actually, our bodies are actually constantly changing. And also, because Krishna controls time, Krishna can manipulate it as he likes. We see during the Ras Leela, the Ras Leela was actually went on for one night of Brahma or one day, is it? One night of Brahma. But Krishna, he fit it into one earthly night. So we can see how Krishna can actually manipulate things, because he is actually the controller of time. And so the main point is that as devotees we have to be conscious how we use our time in glorifying Krishna, so that we don't get victimized by time. And you see, Maharaj Parikshit, he knew, he actually had 7 days to live. He was given the notice, you have 7 days to live, and after that the snake of death will come and you are finished. And so Maharaj Parikshit, he for 7 days he attentively heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in our case, we don't know how many days we have. Maybe 7 hours, 7 days, 70 years. We don't know. So we should actually be even more cautious in how we are using our time. So I'll just stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Golden age gone. Yeah. He's saying that right now we are in the golden age. You know, 10,000 years this movement will last, and then will dwindle. So he's saying if we die and we don't perfect our Krishna consciousness and we end up in heaven, in the heavenly planets, then life there is actually very long. And so when we again take birth in earth, this golden age might be gone. So I said, yeah, that's right. It will be. Who was that? I think was it Muchukunda or somebody? Like after he woke up, he realized that actually so many ages have passed. All his relatives and they all have died. I can't remember the personality. So it's actually all relatives. So you know, we have to make the best use of this opportunity we have. Yes, please. That's right. It's not chasing you. It's conspicuous by its absence. In other words, time does not deteriorate things over there. It is like, it is not.
It's not absence, it's a sacred presence. Definitely subject to the past.
Sorry?
In the ground of Samega, it's a sacred presence.
Yeah. That's right. So time is in the material world there's past, present and future. In the spiritual world time is there, but there's no past, present and future. So you know, it's eternal. In other words, time does not impede the relationship of the living entity with Krishna. So all the activities are ever fresh. Yeah, time is there in the spiritual world. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because even in spiritual world there are different activities. So, you know, Krishna in the morning does this. How is that permanent? It was great. No, it's changed. If you, I don't know if they took a picture of that bell. You can compare it before and now. I'm sure it's changed. It's constantly changing. You know, the bell. Like even now, it's a little bit dirty, you know. So, and even matter is constantly changing, whether it is earth, water, fire, air, ether. Even the cosmic creation has a point of creation and point of annihilation. So this thing was created at one point of time, and at some point it will be destroyed. It will again merge back into the elements from which it came. It is spiritual, but because you know, like even say for example, our, you know, like a spiritual master is in pure goodness, but because there's a material body, so that is also constantly changing. You know, even pure devotees, they take birth and die, but they are beyond the purview of time because they are engaged in glorifying Krishna. So all these items are actually spiritual. But because they are made up of material elements, they also decay. Make sense? But it is actually spirit in nature. But it is actually spirit in nature. You know, the deities are spiritual, but because they are made up of wood, you know, copper, metals, and they actually decay by the influence of time. So they have to be maintained. You know, that's why we, you know, bathe the deities, polish them to maintain them. Of course, for the pleasure of the Lord also. How does it work? Yeah. You know, some things actually take a long time to, you know, to, how do you say, decay. Like say this bell, you know, it will last for a long time. But other things like food, you know, you can actually see it actually decays much quickly. But actually everything is changing. Everything is in a flux. How exactly it happens, you can read some science books. They will tell you in more detail how actually that exactly is transforming. That I don't know. Corrosion.
All organic things, they decay much faster.
Inorganic things, they are decaying, you know. They are undergoing transformation, but exactly how it's happening, I don't know. That's the illusion, you know. That's what Krishna is saying, that's the illusion. So because one who is situated in the mode of passion, they cannot see how all this is happening. They cannot see the influence of time. Yes, Madhuri. The three modes of nature, they are affected by time. So
Mm-hmm.
no, like, you know, we are free to choose our association with the modes of nature. You know, we are free, passion, ignorance, goodness. And even when we take birth in a certain mode of nature. And but actually that is being pushed forward by time. So if we identify, if we are associated with the mode of passion, then the mode of passion, then time pushes forward the mode of passion. You know, then so we get so many desires, longings, and you know, like that. Then certain kind of happiness and distress comes forth because of the pushing of time. So actually, it's time which pushes forward the activities in material world. Does that make sense? Yeah, if we don't have this knowledge, then we are just simply being pushed around by time, you know, with the different modes of nature. You associate with a certain mode of nature and, you know, time pushes, you know, pushes you to act in a certain way. So the modes of nature, you know, push us to act in a certain way, and the modes of nature are again being pushed by time. So, as you know, even when the creation takes place from Mahatattva, the time comes, and then the three modes of nature come, and then time actually again activates them. So time is actually controlling and pushing everything. So if time is not there, you know, the modes of nature cannot act. It is actually time which is pushing them forward. Yes.
This is also called conditioning, on the same order than conditioning.
Hmm.
When we are chanting, because of the conditioning, we are not hearing properly. This conditioning. The previous
any other questions or comments? Yes.
Last time we got this morning, I was trying to analyze a side for the Australian side. The question was, if time starts, how would you know? I think the first does not like a lot of way, but just thinking that coming in, so how would you know for that question?
If time stops, how do we know? We won't know. You can say time and tide wait for no man. They will not stop. So how do we answer that to a person who does not... You have to basically explain that actually, you know, time is eternal and it doesn't stop. You know, anyway, you have to explain that basically. Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhu. Time is there. But it's not like material time. it's there. Time is eternal, you know, so time is there. In the material world, it's acting in a different way. You know, there's the Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. Only Karma is temporary, but all the rest are eternal. So time is there. Any other comments? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ji.